present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a special offer seen in the Queenswood catalogue and read by Harriet Cass.
Alan Titchmarsh, complete rot, £3.49.
Thanks to Julie Baker of Marlborough for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome, first on my right, Linda Smith and Tony Hawkes. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Linda, the first question's for you. Why didn't you bother to put out the bins on Wednesday night?
Oh, this is because of the strikes. We're having a... Well, it's not really a summer of discontent. They're trying to build it into that. More of a summer of mustn't grumble, really, isn't it? Because the unions have finally decided that they're not really getting anything out of this relationship with New Labour. They're giving them money. They're getting nothing from it. So they've decided to revive their historical role as trade unions. They're doing some strikes. I quite like to see it, actually. I feel they're a bit like a sort of downtrodden wife who suddenly, after years and years of abuse, started going out to discos and playing I Will Survive and having a new haircut and finding a toy boy. I think it's all rather encouraging. But I can understand, really, why they feel gypped by New Labour. Imagine they must feel about New Labour the way I feel about the gym, really. I'm giving them all this money. I'm getting nothing out of it, really.
I think they're just discontent with the summer, really. It's just been raining all the time.
You think that's
or have I missed the point?
You just have to ram your politics down people's throats.
I always do.
On your soapbox.
I always do this, don't I? Come on here.
Come on, it's not dispatch box. Come on.
Our bin men didn't strike because they're privatised in Lambeth. They're from, I don't know, scabu-like cleansing services. I love a little about cleansing services. You imagine people with big cotton buds off of gladiators coming and just slightly moistened, just going down the gutters.
And then they should do the wheelie bins out with toner.
Yeah.
Exfoliate and moisturise.
Nearly a million council workers went on strike to protest against the latest pay offer of 3%. Even Belfast Zoo was brought to a standstill as animals complained that they were being treated like council workers. Strike bore uncanny parallels with 1979, a strike over low pay, a deeply unpopular Labour government, the Tories ready and waiting in the wings, so 2 out of 3 isn't bad. Tony, why is the government jeopardising the crime bill by playing judge and jury?
Aha. Well, they've decided... It's actually been quite a week for government announcing different things. They've decided to reform the crime and justice bill. And what was the question again? As I was about to just ramble, but I thought
no,
I'd better answer.
Right. Oh,
I know what they're
going
to do.
Jeopardy.
Double Jeopardy. They're going to show this American game show Jeopardy twice back to back every night for about a month.
Yes.
I think that's it.
So now what's going to happen is you don't have one trial, it's sort of best of three now.
This Archer will be going in and out like a fiddler's elbow for the next 40 years.
Will be so full that we'll have to move into the prisons and the criminals will have to roam about the country because just have to reverse it. It might be quite nice.
It would be very confusing.
Do you think it would?
Yes, it would, because we wouldn't, you know, it would just would be confusing.
Well, it's easily done, Tony.
Well, no, I mean, you'd wake up in the morning and you'd think, well, I'm in prison now and I've done nothing wrong.
About 80% of the prison population wakes up every morning knowing they've done nothing wrong.
Oh, that's a point.
I mean, they're all asylum seekers and people fitted up by the old bill. The only guilty people in there are Archer and... That's it, actually. But what this double jeopardy means is that the Plod, the Babylon, as we used to call them, people of my generation, they'll just deliberately present one piece of evidence at a time, won't they? They'll bring you to court and they'll say, we think he did it, and you'll be acquitted. And then they'll say, oh, we found a sample of his DNA inside his body. And they'll just keep coming up with different spurious things. A man answering his description was seen in his house. And they'll just keep bringing this stuff up and you just spend your life on remand.
David Blunkett also offered sentence discounts to defendants who enter a guilty plea. Own up to 3 crimes and you get a 4th absolutely free. Jeremy, who...
Oh, that David Blunkett. Someone who looks like a jolly fisherman. He's a miserable sod, isn't he?
Jeremy, who, like Webster's Dictionary, is Morocco-bound?
Ah. Last week, the Moroccans briefly took a Spanish island of Perakil, leaving behind them their distinctive architecture, characterised by tall, domed mosques and intricate brickwork colonnades. This is an elaborate contrivance about Moorish Islamic art in Spain, so don't look at me like I'm weird.
What worries me about it, though, is that this place translates as Parsley Island.
Yeah.
Right? This could set off a full-scale Garnish Wars. If they just take Lemon Wedge Insula.
The interesting thing about this is it is only 200 yards from Morocco. And these disputes are happening. I think what you basically need to do is rethink the way you decide these kind of arguments. Basically, anywhere where a fat bloke can swim should belong to that country. For instance, you know, so if the Argentinians came over and tried to claim the Isle of Wight on the grounds that it's got an economy, and they'd quite like somewhere that had an economy, we'd get Tony Blair down there in his swimming trunks, or John Prescott, because he's fatter, and if he can swim there, we keep it. Now you're looking at me like I'm the weird one.
On that basis, you see, Tony, you give Gibraltar back to Spain because it's a fat bloke can walk.
Well, yes, exactly.
So long as he's not too fat.
Yeah, but if the fat bloke is lying off the coast, Tony, they could annex him. I mean, Argentina could lay claim. If Prescott was going past on a lilo, he could claim it as Argentinian territory.
That could only be a good thing, surely.
But if you're on a lilo, would that imply he developed the property and therefore it was his?
I'm just delighted that I've spawned this conversation.
Tony has raised an interesting point, because Britain claims that Northern Ireland is not Irish but British, and that Gibraltar is not Spanish but British, and I think aerial photography tells us different.
We'd have had no chance keeping India on that basis, would we?
I'm surprised we didn't call Delhi London Delhi, just to try and... try and underline our claim to it.
The island is populated by 50 goats. They say they don't mind who's in charge, provided it's not Wales. Alan, who's been giving it all away this week?
Mrs. Gordon. He hasn't given any of it away to me. It's £61 billion, just in time to benefit everything I am not. Just as soon as you get old enough and have private health insurance and you educate your children private and all the rest of it, he comes along and says, all right, you're paying for it now. Anyway, there is £61 billion, which is going to be put back into public service so that new Labour can have a little smidgen of old Labour. And people who are genuine socialists won't be too disaffected until they realise how misspelt most of this money will be, because they're doing nothing about the structures that are supposed to be supporting. This is getting very ponderous now. It's like doing any questions from a scout at in Oniton. But anyway, basically, the belief is that by throwing a lot of money at things, they will work. It doesn't work. And he's been very worried. And he's going to be Prime Minister, Simon.
Just because you pay for something doesn't mean it's good. I mean, you go to a private hospital to complain of chest pains and you leave with a spanking new pair of breasts.
But at least it happens quickly.
They do say that they're going to have stringent tests along the way. And I saw this headline that said, penalties for poor hospitals and schools. And I thought, that's no way of deciding something like that, is it? Hot luck, you know, that somebody goes one way, they save it. If they don't, whatever. A tiebreaker would be better.
Heartbreaking, yeah, I think, yeah.
Despite the massive giveaway, the Chancellor is sure he still has billions of pounds left in the kitty. At least that's what the accountants from Arthur Anderson tell him. We start round two with an item from the tourist guide in South Africa.
Swim with the great white sharks in Cape Town's Table Bay. 87% success rate.
Thanks to Edward Birch of Shrewsbury for that. Linda, who had a shot at revolution on Bastille Day?
Oh, President Chirac.
Well, not quite President Chirac.
No.
You're on the right lines.
Oh, the man who tried to shoot President Chirac. He had a shot, didn't he?
He did.
Yes, someone tried to kill him. But he was amazingly cool about it. When he was told that there'd been an assassination attempt, obviously he was told in French, important thing like that, you know, that go straight to the first language. And they said, you know, you've been shot at. And he said, ah, bon. Which means, oh, good. Which seems quite a strange. I think he was still in shock by then, don't you think? Because you wouldn't say that, would you? Someone's tried to kill me. Oh, good, I've been hoping that would happen.
You might be sure it was an assassination attempt, really, because this bloke was there with this gun and he was waved at her and then they pulled him away. Everyone assumes he was trying to shoot Chirac. He could have just seen his neighbour there. He'd had a long-standing fence to speak with. Thinks I'll have a go. Or he could be protesting. The French protest at any given moment. You know, Mars bars go up, they're on the streets with guns or whatever. They change the one-way system in Basingstoke, they're on the streets.
It's French.
Well, yes, because that's how cross they are.
Yes, thank you for backing me up.
Also, being French, he could have just been trying to shoot some robins for his dinner or something.
Yeah,
skylarks.
Let us get much xenophobia into this section of the programme.
I was very impressed with the picture of the bloke because he was wearing a leather jacket. It was actually, they had him in an armour, he was wearing a beret, and it was just like Charlotte Gray. And I think this chap is just sort of leftover resistance worker.
Well, he was described
not having a train to blow up or anything. He said, oh, well, I'll shoot somebody.
He was described as well-known in skinhead circles. Mm. I'm quite intrigued
it's
by
ringworms,
these...
ringworms, isn't it? What is it?
They're like crop circles, I think. Skinhead circles.
Maxime Brunier was described by French police as being a member of extreme right-wing hooligan groups, or as they're known here, the Women's Institute. Tony, who's getting naughty before nine?
Ah, BBC. No, not the BBC. It's not a BBC question. I think it's the watershed question. Just people complaining generally about the fact that it's been... Oh, you're doing a little sound effect for me. Thank you. They're bringing it forward more and more. They're sneaking the naughtiness forward. You know, sometimes they're rude at 9:15 and 9:10. I think... Madonna, the Turner Prize, she said a very rude word at 9:15 and people were complaining about that and other things have happened at 9:01 that are shocking. And they should move it to 9:09 and then we could all live with it, frankly.
It's very difficult to control. I was watching the Open. Tiger Woods, you saw that?
Yeah.
Sliced a ball off the first tee and went up and said, you frigging photographers, why don't you clear off? This is 2:15 in the afternoon.
But to be fair to him, it'd be very difficult to play golf after 9:00 at night, wouldn't it? Not without a miner's helmet.
He goes back to the same spot and swears after 9:00 at night.
There have been a record number of complaints about sex on TV. Most of them wanted to know how broadcasters expect them to operate the remote control and watch Channel 5 at the same time. Jeremy, what are you not as good at in bed as a woman?
Sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Women find it much easier to sleep.
They don't have to wake up for sex,
do they? They might hear something. Women sleep a lot better than men because they just do everything better than men. So they sleep a lot better, and men sleep lightly, which is why we've all got prostate cancer. Women don't have prostate cancer, ever.
Do you not think women sleep more deeply because they're in a state of mild hypothermia due to duvet deprivation?
Now it starts. So you tabulate, you see. We don't remember. You tabulate every single incident going back to the early 70s. So we can't possibly win any argument of grievances.
But they do reckon that because of the survey that this is about, they say that because women sleep better, they actually live longer. That's the theory this person's come up with. But I would argue that they're actually conscious for exactly the same amount of time. There's no advantage, you know, they're just, you know, just unconscious of a different part of their life. Is it? Do you get where I'm coming from?
What do you mean after we...
If you sleep...
I can guess where you're going to.
Can I have a lift? There's a tube strike.
So does that mean after men die, we have a really good kip then?
Well, I mean, now you're getting into all sorts of areas about what is death. And
an
I haven't
undiscovered
got time to
country
cover it.
From whose bourne no traveller returns.
Or is it just the final snooze button?
Do you think that women sleep better than men because they make less mistakes?
Because they're more competitive.
Yeah.
Is they it? Train up. they train up when we're out. They drink loads and loads of sherry and things. Practicing sleeping so they're expert. That's why we have to go and get more Christmas decorations at Easter when we've already got plenty of Christmas decorations from the last 18 years.
Let it all out now. Come on, let it out.
That's why they notice that the new serviettes don't go with the napkin rings. So we'll have to get a new kitchen. While we're down at IKEA getting a kitchen to self-assembly, they're sleeping. And then they wake up when England is under danger, like Arthur's Knights. All the women will wake up and give the enemy a terrible nagging.
It's so wonderful. He just stepped into this tiny phone booth and gave Bernard Manning. He was talking about... This tirade of sexist stuff came out. I loved it. I got you. Can I take you home with me?
Margaret Thatcher famously survived on 4 hours of sleep a night, though how she could sleep at all is still a mystery. Alan, who's dropping in on a war zone near you?
Sorry, I missed that.
Dropping?
Alan, who's dropping in on a war zone near
about
you?
About parachutists?
Yes.
Why don't... I saw no parachuting stories this week.
Did anyone else?
Parachutes. I was asleep.
Is it a parachute? Yeah,
it's
I'm
more
a bit
airdropping rather than necessarily parachuting.
Jumping out of aeroplanes without a parachute, that's just foolish. I bet that was men.
We are dropping provisions to people, are we?
More than provisions. What? Civil servants.
We're dropping civil servants on people?
Yeah. I know what it is. Is it this quick response squad of diplomats?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Crack green beret type diplomats. Who are airdropped into countries with, you know, they have all these James Bond things like biros that turn into boxes of Ferrero Rocher. And that's what this is, isn't it?
Diplomats are brilliant. I got evacuated out of Bethlehem by the British consul because of the invasion. And it was fantastic. If you ever go to a country and there's a war zone, don't panic. Because it is marvellous being evacuated by the British consulate. Because the Americans were there being evacuated as well. And they had the CIA, they had armoured limousines, and their drivers had helmets and flak jackets and guns, and our man had driving gloves. It was wonderful. So we get in the car, like, right, OK, sit down quietly, please, don't touch the travel suites, please. Carefully positioned. And we got to the consulate, and he was wonderful. Geoffrey Adams, Consul General in Jerusalem. He's fantastic. We arrived there and say, oh, hello, my dears, do come in, come in. And I thought, this is wonderful. Wilfred Hyde White lives. Do come in, my little pretties. This is my wife, Mary Emma. Mary, get a gin and tonic for the young anarchists, will you, darling? They've had the most frightful time. They've been shot, you know. Come in.
Each embassy will contain all that's needed for a Foreign Office presence, including 2 fax machines, 10 mobile phones, a tea maker and 3,000 miles of red tape. The Foreign Office already has a whole set of porter cabins lined up for the purpose, or will have, as soon as they've managed to turf out Year 9 geography. So, 2-point cylinder for getting it, and 1 point to Jeremy for his brilliant and vivid description of what it will be like on the ground. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Yorkshire Post.
New York tobacconists complained their sales were going up in smoke after city officials pushed the price of a packet of cigarettes up to the equivalent of £5.50. The mayor hopes it will raise £80 million in desperately needed revenue for the city coffers.
Thanks to the Reverend Terry Tolan, a banner cross for that. Tony, why does raining cats and dogs mean a really heavy downpour?
Raining cats and dogs, heavy downpour. Got to be Les Dennis leaving family fortune question. No, all right. That's another way of saying I've got no idea. But Linda looks like
a huge.
Well, I think I do know this one, actually. I think The key thing is the heavy part of this, heavy downpour, because apparently cats and dogs are too fat, are getting too fat. Is that it, Simon?
It is.
Yes, the cats and dogs are getting very fat. They're eating sort of junk food and they're sort of lying around watching telly. And you can tell that they have a taste for the wrong foods, because when dogs speak, when you get these talking dogs, they always say sausages, don't they? You never get a dog that says 5 portions of fruit a day, do you? Never happens. So that's what it is. I don't mind them being fat. I don't like it where they wear those tight lycra collars, though. That's not flattering to a fat dog, is it, really?
But are these British dogs or American dogs?
Well, I think they're our dogs.
What, British dogs?
Yeah. Well, we're all right, because we excel at things like darts and rugby and... We can have fat animals, can't they? They can be our athletes of the future. They'll be able to do all the snooker and the ice dancing and all that stuff.
A survey by the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals revealed that more than half of Britain's pampered cats and dogs are overweight. Findings were confirmed with news that the Channel Tunnel started out as a cat flap for a cat from Dover. Jeremy, why are parents not sunny delighted at their children's choice of food?
What?
Jeremy, why are parents not sunny delighted at their children's choice of food?
Sunny delight is this bizarre diabetes-enriched urine. Which you can buy in shops. Which is useful if you're robbed and then it stains all of the stuff that's stolen and, in fact, dissolves it. Before the thief gets your mobile home, it's just dissolved. I've no idea what you're talking about. Parents are not happy because their children eat crap.
Yes.
Well, they shouldn't give them turkey dinosaurs if they don't want them to eat them. How can parents complain that their children are eating rubbish if they're making their tea?
Oh, they're brilliant, those turkey dinosaurs. You know, one portion contains a full course of antibiotics.
Archaeologists in the future will draw completely different conclusions about evolution, because they'll conclude that the Tyrannosaurus was not a huge carnivorous thing. It was a tiny little squashed nugget.
Could happen. But they're going to tax it as well. I mean, well, that's what Demos, that little research unit or left-wing think tank, weren't they saying something like that we should actually tax this sort of food, the unhealthy food?
Sunny Delight is a wonderful drink, though, because you can clean the toilet while you vomit.
A jury of 800 parents for the Food Commission found a number of food manufacturers guilty of promoting unhealthy food for children. Parents complained that some of the breakfast cereals remained stuck in their children's teeth at tea time. Well, it saves not having to do the washing up.
They call it inconvenience food, I think, this lot. But I think inconvenient food is food that's on a shelf that's just out of reach.
That's food for your sick mind, Tony. That's not eating food. Hot cornflake babes is not real food. Crudité lesbians is not a meal.
Yes, Snap, Crackle and Pop magazine.
Yeah.
Okay, you've outed me. Fair enough.
Alan, which new animal turned out to be lamer than a llama?
Lamer than a llama? I can't do this. Do you know?
There was an animal called a llama, which is a cross between an aardvark and a leopard. These weird, lonely zookeepers. I think, look, if you want to have sex with an animal, just do it. Just do it. You'll probably only get a fine.
Why is it
lamer? It's lamer. Well, they produced a cross between a camel and a llama called a llama, but presumably if it's lamer, can it not walk?
No, what it was, they hoped it would be, what they hoped would be they'd cross this camel and a llama and they get the best qualities of the llama crossed with the best qualities of a camel. Well, the camel doesn't seem to have any best qualities, really. It's just nasty and vicious.
Well, they both spit.
So what they got... Sorry?
They both spit. I can remember that from zoos of my childhood. The two animals that spat were camels and llamas. They're trying to introduce something that spits better than the others.
But it's joined a punk band, so it's okay.
But camels can save up their spit in their hump for a month.
This karma just charges at people and bites them, apparently. So it's a total disaster.
Bad karma. Bad karma.
It's picked up the worst elements of both animals. It has long legs and a furious temper, and so is being renamed Naomi Campbell. Barrett plans to clone this animal, in which case, of course, it will be known as the Dalai Lama. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Just a minute. Oh, here we are. Yeah.
We'll get the groceries later, Linda. Have you washed today?
I'm trying to sleep over here. Do you mind? I don't know what this is from. It's from a... Oh, I'll make something up. Yeah, there we go. Mystery over maternity unit. Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust has sought to clear up the confusion surrounding the future of high-risk maternity services at Sevenoaks Hospital. Colette Glasson has attempted to clarify the situation. She said a consultant does hold a clinic on Wednesday mornings at Sevenoaks, but he's now looking to specialise in infidelity treatment. A move that will benefit hundreds of couples in the area.
Tony.
This has been sent in by Alex Double from Oxford. It's a letter in the Radio Times reviewing Man and Boy on BBC One, and it goes, I would especially like to single out Pauline Collins and Jack Shepherd, Harry's parents. They pulled off with exemplary deftness and true emotion their small but essential parts.
Jeremy.
This is from The Advertiser, but I've lost which advertiser it's from. A man indecently exposed himself to a Cranley woman in St. Nicholas Churchyard on Saturday evening. Police say he appeared from behind some bushes as the woman walked by. The man is described as of slim build, wearing grey or faded black jeans, and is believed to be left-handed.
Mine is from The Sun, and I think Monday, Simon. There's a salmon tagged with a satellite tracking device in an attempt to monitor its breeding routes was logged travelling down the M4. Poachers were delivering it to a restaurant in Wales.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Alan and Jeremy have 15, but Linda and Tony, this week's winners, at 18 points. And before we leave you, here's an item from the Glasgow Herald.
A news report reaches us from America, where a patient was diagnosed as clinically depressed and was scheduled for controversial shock therapy, until it was discovered that he was not depressed, merely Scottish.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Jeremy Hardy, Tony Hawkes and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Paul McKenzie and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.